Morning, everybody. I got that in with less than 60 seconds to go, too, before it changes over that way. Hey, I'm so glad you're here with us this weekend. A couple reasons. It's a special weekend for us. One being that our very first Waterford service is in the books right now. So I think we've got Patience with all that clapping. This is what it looked like down there. And they told us for the very first service down there, they had 432 people. That exceeded our expectations for sure. You know, honestly, I think you have to have a special love for Jesus to be able to attend the Waterford campus. Did you know that they can't bring coffee into the service there? It's true. Rented auditorium, not allowed there. So, I mean, you know, that takes a special love for Jesus to be able to walk into a situation like that. It's also taken a lot of prayer, a lot of listening to God, a lot of people willing to work together, vision, giving, and all of a sudden we see something again bigger than what we ever expected, even from the get-go, and we've got great expectations for the future. Would you be willing to join me at this point in a word of prayer, just again to pray a blessing over what's going on down there, but to ask God, having begun a good work, that he would continue this good work in a greater and greater way? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for what's happened down in Waterford, and thank you for what will happen. We know that there are so many people that are far from you, that Jesus, you literally gave your life for. And our prayer is that in your ongoing working in their life, that this will be another point of light that might draw them to you, to bring them in that place, Lord, where they understand the gospel and respond to the gospel as well. For those that are believers there, I pray it will be a catalyst for growth in their lives. Pray for Pastor Cliff, wisdom in that continued coordination, facilitation of what's taking place there, for those that are serving there. Bless them, please. We ask this in your name, Jesus. And everybody in agreement said, amen. Hey, another reason that I'm so glad you're here with us is we're ready to start a new adventure. Kind of, again, the big part of this weekend here. A little different than just starting a series. Starting an adventure has multiple components to it. And with those components, each one will exponentially increase what it is that you can take out of it. Now, the adventure, we're going to title Word. So the first thing I want to ask you to do is, would you join us for the next 5 weeks for Word? Being here with us, if you got to miss, catching it online. We want to be able to discover what does the Word have for us with regards to God's working in our life. Being able to listen to God, to actually have Him speak into our lives. Both direction-wise, both, helping in this realization more than ever, that Jesus wants this current relationship that we have with him to be growing. And he's going to use the Word, for he is the Word made flesh, to be able to use in our lives as well. So that's the first step. The second step will entail either reading or listening. Now we're going to pass out right now a bookmark to everybody. So they're going to be coming down. Please take one of these. What you'll notice as you glance down through this is all of the reading on the plan that we're putting out in front of us is from the Old Testament. Now, I'll say a little bit more about the Old Testament in just a second. But this particular plan that we have would be called the E50, meaning essential 50 passages of the Old Testament. In doing this plan, it is going to give to us a framework that I hope, again, opens up the Word for us in deeper and greater ways than we've ever been before. Now, recognition on our part, in order to use the bookmark, you're going to need either or. Either you're going to need a Bible. So if you have a Bible, you're set already. If you don't have a Bible, or a Bible that you're comfortable with right now, maybe you've got a big family Bible at home and you're going like, I'm not sure I'd be comfortable with reading this one, or you want one that's a little bit more contemporary language, then you can stop by the resource table if you want. You can go to a Bible bookstore as well, but if you go by the resource table, you're going to have a deeply discounted Bible that's available for you. If you're just brand new to Bible reading, let me encourage you to use like a NLT, a New Living Translation. Very readable, very understandable, spot on translation. Or we also have NIV Bibles. The NIV Bible, such as the Pew Bible in front of us, is the Bible that we regularly teach from here at Fox River. Now, if you noticed, if you grabbed a Pew Bible yet, you might be kind of setting up for the service here, you'll notice that these are brand new Bibles today. We got them new because Waterford would need Bibles, and we have Bibles, and it was time to do that, so everybody stays on the same page that way. We thought maybe some of you might want a Pew Bible as well, so we have ordered extra, and if you'd like, you can have one of these Pew Bibles for $15, to which some of you are thinking, 15 bucks? You got to be kidding me. I don't need a Bible, but I'm going to go buy three just because it's a good deal. You might do your Christmas shopping today, you know, just get everybody a Pew Bible, you know, they have them there. So you can go back to resource table, get them there for $15, or if it's more convenient, you could take the one in front of you for $100 today. So just, it's a convenience fee, but just put $100 in the basket on the way out, and you can take the one that you've got in your hands right now. We also know that we have many auditory learners here, and for you, you might want to instead or add to with what's going on to have an audio version of E50. And what we've done is we've downloaded it and put it on a CD, burn it to a CD if you'd like to pick one of these up for $5. If you want to do your own download, you're very welcome to it. Again, at the resource table, we've got, you know, the web address of where you'd go for that download. The cost is $5, so it's cheaper for us if you do it this way than this way, but we knew for some this is a convenience that would really help you out, so we've got those back there as well. So each day is laid out with that particular passage that the rest of us will be reading. Now, some might want to do both. You might want to listen and read simultaneously, and of course you're very, very welcome to be able to do that. But that takes another level of commitment. Attending here, you know, low commitment. Attending and reading, that's a medium level commitment. And I would guess most of you right now would say, yeah, I'm on board with that. I'm good with that. You know, I'm planning on being here, looking forward to being here, in fact. The Bible reading thing, yeah, I'll give that a shot, or I'm intending to do that. And then there's a third level to this adventure component of it. Anybody have any idea what's coming next? Yeah, some of you are just going like, don't say it, please don't say it, you know, hope he doesn't say it. If you would, grab from your program this sheet that says Fall Group List on it. What we have done is we've put together 50 different growth group opportunities. So for those that are doing the reading, this is the opportunity to get together with other people that are doing it, ask questions, share insights, kind of get perspective on everything that's taking place. A little bit broader understanding of how God's working in people's lives. Great that way. Some of these you'll see are held at church. Some are in the, you know, spread out in the metro area all around us. So you can pick an area close to you if you want. We've got some down in Waterford that are taking place here. Some have childcare. If you have a magnifying glass, you can even read it right now. It's not easy getting 50 on one sheet here. Now, if you can't decide, it's like, boy, I just can't decide which one I want, then just do this. Let God lead you. Just take a pen out and just pick one on there, just like this. Now, you might end up in the one for women over 50 by doing so, but who knows? Maybe God's got something in there, you know, that way for you as well. But once you've picked a group, just put your contact information and drop this in the basket on the way out. Some groups will start today, some this week, some the following, but we'll get you in one and get you prepared to be able to go out to it that way. Really hope that you'll do that, because as I said, every level, and this is a much higher commitment, but we're only going to ask for 5 weeks. Some of the groups are going to go longer, but I'm only going to ask you for a 5-week commitment. And if you'll do that, I will guarantee you that you will get more and more and more out of what it is that the Word has for you, and especially in this series that we're entering into. Now, that said, why do you think we chose the Old Testament? In fact, why would anybody, given the choice of reading the Old Testament or the New Testament, choose to read or study, learn from the Old Testament? That's a great question. I mean, really, that's a very legitimate, it's a great question. Let me give you my top three reasons. There's more than this, of course, but here's my top three this way. My first reason for doing so is you don't want to miss the first half. If you guys ever get the opportunity to go to an awesome theater somewhere around the world, New York, London, wherever that might be, and see one of the world's greatest performances that are put on, take the opportunity. Denise and I, on our 15th anniversary, were actually coming back from South Africa, so we had to go through London. We laid over there for the sole purpose of being able to see the Phantom of the Opera perform there. So we went to see the Phantom at Her Majesty's Theater. When we sat down in there, I'm just looking around going like, this is an incredible place. You know, high anticipation for what was going on there, and was disappointed in no way whatsoever. The theater, the acting, the music, all of it. I mean, it's fantastic. So if you get that opportunity, you'll be sitting there. And I guarantee you, when the curtain begins to come up, there's going to be an anticipation in you. Now, one small detail. Put yourself in that situation. The curtain's going up, but the small little detail is this. The curtain is now going up for the second act. You see, you got there late. In fact, you got there almost at the end of the intermission. And as the curtain is going up, it is going up for the second act. Now, will the second act be good? Yes or no? Yeah, I mean, it's going to be good. But are you going to get the whole experience, the whole story? Yeah, for sure, right? If I were to ask you about this, I mean, think about it. You're sitting in the theater, and all of a sudden, there's this birth taking place, and the baby's put into a manger, and the whole thing's in a barn. Aren't you going like, well, this is kind of curious, isn't it? I mean, what's that all about? While other people around you are gasping like, no. And some are going like, I can't believe it. Who would have ever thought? And you're just kind of like, what? You're like, what? Well, they know the full story of what's taken place. In the Old Testament, we get the story. Question is, of what? Do you think the Old Testament is a story of Israel? The story of the foundation and establishment of Judaism? Is that what the story is about? If so, it's going to affect how you approach it and your motivation to it. Or do you think the Old Testament is actually the story of God? And if you do, you would be correct. You see, the entire Bible is the story of God. If you were to map it out and then boil it down into its very, very basic components, the story of God goes something like this. There's creation. There's the fall. There's redemption. And then there's glory. Now, you could fill in a little bit if you want to go between the fall and redemption. You could put, there was God's working in the world through Israel. And after redemption, you could put God's working in the world through the church, which would be true. You see, in the Old Testament, it takes us from creation to Christ. And then the New Testament picks up the story and takes us from Christ to the new, or recreation, because the Bible says that God will create a new heaven, a new earth, and that's what glory is going to be propelled ahead into that way. If you don't have the framework to hang the stories on in the Old Testament, you know what you get? It's kind of like, you take, any of you, when you do your Christmas tree, do you just take all the ornaments and spread them out everywhere? I mean, you get everything out, and it's just there, and the ornaments are all over the floor. And they're all, you know, they're pretty, they're beautiful. But if you don't have anything to hang them on, what do you got? Don't you have just like a mess? It's like a mess of pretty things, but it's still just like a mess. There's no tree. But if you got a tree, and you got your tree there, and you have them to hang it on that way, you know what you end up with? Something that's beautiful. Something that you're willing to, you know, you want to look at that for a month, or 2 months, or 3 months, or some of you still have your Christmas tree up from last year. I mean, it's like it's that good. You're just keeping up all the time there. Because you've got, you know where to hang things, and everything comes together as a whole that way. There's actually 9 specific movements that take place in the Old Testament. I don't have time to go into them today, but if you're at a group, you know, one of the growth groups, you're going to have those 9 just explained to you. You're going to have a framework for everything in the Old Testament and know what goes where and in what period there, and you're kind of go like, oh, I get it. The whole thing is a story that's being shared that way. One thing real quickly, though, the little chart that I've got up here right now before we open the Old Testament for the first time, you know, in our Bible reading, lest we be intimidated by it, I just want you to see how the whole thing just kind of lays out. What you'll see at the top is there's three types of literature that the Old Testament uses: historic, wisdom, and prophets. Now, historic just means this: it's a narrative. It's like reading the newspaper, or it's like reading a story. Here's the story of David, here's the story of Daniel in the lion's den, and it's just kind of like it's written in that narrative form, and you read it like you would newspaper story. Wisdom, next five books, that's God's wisdom that he imparts to us. His heart for our heart, his mind for our mind, books of Psalms, the heart of God, Proverbs, the mind of God, wisdom of God. There's five books of wisdom. And then there are the prophets. Now, when you think prophets, don't think prophecies. You know, it's all about the future being told that way. Most of the prophets are this. They were individuals that God was using to speak into current situations that people found themselves in. That's what the prophets were all about. And realizing that, you go like, oh, if I understand the situation, then when the same situations occur in my life, I can hear what God would be saying into me. If you just open your Bible and thumb through the Old Testament this way, you'd go the first 17 books, you know, first 17 books are just that history or narrative there. First five are called the book of Moses or the Pentateuch, which means five, and then you get 12 after that. Then you come to the five books of wisdom. Then you have 17 of the prophets, five major, 12 minor, and that's just because of the size of the books, not because of the value or the worth of them that way. So the Old Testament doesn't need to be, you know, mysterious in the complex or ununderstandable form. It's the first half of the story. Now, two other reasons that I would suggest everybody getting in the Old Testament. Second would be this: because of the examples, the lessons that God has for us in this. The book of Romans, which is normally called the greatest book of the New Testament for explaining the gospel and for Christian living, that's the book of Romans. The book of Romans tells us this about the Old Testament. It says, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. Now, let me just ask you, what is it that it's talking about was written in the past? What was written in the past? Say it with me. Yeah, the Old Testament, right? So that was written in the past. It was written to do what? To teach us. Did you know that in the book of Romans, 28 times this phrase is used? It is written. So most leading edge New Testament teaching, 28 different times uses this phrase. It is written. And then it says what it was that was written, or what it refers to there. Where was "it was written" written? Where? In the Old Testament again. So it's going back again and saying it was written here, and here's what that means, and here's the value of that today. 1 Corinthians tells us this. A little bit different, you know, aspect here. It says, these things happened, Old Testament things. It happened to them as an example, but they are written down for our instruction. In other words, the Old Testament isn't just to tell stories, it's so that we can take that instruction into our lives. Third reason, why should you be involved in the New Testament? Because you're going to discover there Jesus' roots. Here's what I mean by that. The Old Testament will let us know more about Jesus than just the New Testament will do on its own. Jesus said this. This was after his resurrection, Luke 24. When I was with you before, I told you everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Now, remember what I told you before? Three styles. The law of Moses, that's the history. The Psalms, that's the wisdom. The prophets, those are the prophets that are there. He said it was all written about me. And so every one of those different literatures holds stuff, secrets, insights into Jesus that he wants us to become familiar with, that we can know him in a greater and greater way and marvel at the story and the working of God as it unfolded. I hope that now looking at this bookmark going like, you know what? I'm way more interested now in getting the Old Testament than I was just a few minutes ago. Now, before we leave today, I want you to go out with an understanding about the Word in this particular aspect. How is it that you can be impacted by the Word? How does God intend for you to be blessed by the Word in your life? All right, that's what we want to discover together. If you have a Bible, let's take it right now. James is where we want to go. James chapter 1. We're using the Pew Bible, page 1880. And you want to keep your Bible open, and I guarantee you're going to keep a pen handy too, because there's some notes you're going to want to take in your Bible today. It starts out, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to," what? "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become." Now think about that. You might want to just circle that right now. How many here think your week might be better if you are quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry? Can I see your hands? Oh, okay, right there. It's like, well, I could use that, like right now. So, you know, put a circle around that or underline it. Verse 20, "Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." Let me stop again for a second. Anybody ever discover that in here? Does anybody here discover that your human anger doesn't produce God's righteousness in you? Yes? Look at that. The Bible's true. Verse 21, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth," I'll come back to that, "and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept," I'll come back to that, "the word planted in you which can save you." Now, when it's talking about saving there, it's not simply referring to so that you could be born again. It's also talking about saving you in the sense of the path that you're on. If you stay on this path, it's going to be heartache, it's going to be tragedy, it's going to be brokenness in your life. It can save you from that. That's what's tied up in that. 22, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looked like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be," what? "They will be blessed in what they do." Now, the Bible is given to us there, or the Word has given to us here, two analogies of itself. In other words, God says to us, the Word is like, and it uses two things. You may have picked up on these. He said, the word is like, what you're holding in your hand, it's like seed. And he also said, the word is like a mirror. Now that's interesting. I mean, really radically different. Seed, mirror. Now when it comes to seed, what do we know? I think all of us know this, but let's just test our knowledge base, agricultural understanding here. What do we know that we need to do with seed in order for it to produce? Yeah, you have to plant it, right? Or as the Bible says here, you need to plant or you need to receive the seed into yourself. So you got to let the word come into you. Now, as we lean a little bit more into our agricultural understanding, our farmers would be up here teaching us right now. They tell us this. Well, if you're taking seed into the ground, seed into soil, there are two essentials that you've got to stay focused on, right? The first of those essentials is the condition of the what? Yeah, the condition of the soil, or the condition of the dirt itself. It matters what you put the seed into, its condition there. Jesus talked about that. Jesus said there's four conditions that the seed, he said the seed's the word of God. He said there's four conditions that the seed could be coming into. And he's talking about our heart or our spirit or our soul, our minds at this point. He said it could be hard, it could be shallow, it could be weedy, or it could be good. And what Jesus meant was this. Here's what he wanted to explain. Hard soil are those hearts or spirits are basically saying this. No. You know, God, I'm keeping you at a distance. I'm not open to what you want to do in my life. It's like this stiff arm out for God. That'd be hard. The word's not going to go very far that way, is it? Shallow means the seed's in it and it sprouts up quick, but it doesn't have anything to grow. In other words, Jesus said, you'll willingly take the word in and say, this is good stuff. And it's good as long as it's good. In other words, I'm going to do what it says as long as things are going good in my life. I'm good with what it says as long as I like what it says. But when I don't like what it says, or when I do what it says and things don't go the way I want it to, then I'm not good with it anymore. That's shallowness. Weedy is that which chokes out. I think we're all familiar with weeds or weeds in a garden. It chokes out the plant that way. It's distractions from the word, takeaways from the word. And Jesus said there's two in particular, two that stand above the others. You might want to write these down. The first thing that Jesus said will choke the word out in your life is busyness. Can you believe that? Busyness can keep the word from producing in our lives. Too busy for it, too busy to do, too busy to think about it. I'm just busy. I'm good-hearted, but I'm busy. The other one he said was money. Money, love of money, the pursuit of money, the things about money. He goes like, that can just choke out the word from doing what the word wants or could be doing in your life. He said, Jesus said, those are the top two. Not that there's not others, but those are the top two. And then he said, there's good soil. It's that which is ready to receive it, and it's just going to be producing there. Now, James, rather than giving us all of that, he just built on what Jesus said. And in verse 21, he brings us back to the one thing he wants us to focus on. It takes a little bit of explanation here, so let me give it to you and encourage you to make a note or two in your Bible as I do so. You know, just write these things in the margin there. We want to look at this phrase that James put this way, or the NIV puts this way. I want you to humbly accept. Now, what needs explanation, it comes from, the word humbly comes from proutes. And the problem with proutes is it doesn't have a word-for-word translation. Because proutes wasn't a word, but it was a concept. I mean, it's bigger than a word, which makes it very, very difficult to translate. One of the hardest things in the New Testament to actually translate. Proutes talked about the situation in which you'd have a person that is very smart, very knowledgeable. It seems like they know everything about everything. They're very wise, and at the same time, they're hungry to learn more. It's like you know everything, but this person's just got this, you know, hunger to know more. It described the situation in which a person was powerful, physically powerful, politically powerful, you know, financially, had all this power that was there, but the person never used it to abuse, to put down. He only used it for the good of others whom his life touched. That was proutes. So if we had to take these, you know, what we know about it and put it into a small phrase, here's the phrase I want you to write in your Bible. Circle the word humble and write in the side, teachable spirit. If you will, with a teachable spirit, accept the word. Teachable spirit, you can see where humble comes in there, right? A teachable spirit, receive the word. James says that's the heart condition which is going to be able to do the most good. Now, he makes another notation in here in verse 21. Let me just give it to you because I think it's worthwhile and it's also interesting. Verse 21 seems pretty intense, doesn't it? Look at this. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted with you. Now, that's coming across intense, isn't it? How many here would go, he's talking to me? How many can see yourself a morally filthy person? Go, yee, like, whoa, low blood sugar, James. I mean, like, you know, what's going on here? But that's not what the people that were listening to James was hearing. Because the word that's translated here, moral filth, I mean, it comes across so strong, and we get all these connotations around it, simply meant this. Earwax. You got to get rid of the earwax in your life. Anybody ever have earwax? Yeah, I mean, anybody around you got earwax now? Take a peek. You'll hear the ooh if you find some, right? What does earwax do? I'm not talking medically, what does it do? I'm just talking about what, if you got earwax, what does it do to you? Yeah, it keeps you from, yeah, you just can't hear that good. You know, like you got the earwax, it's in there. And what James is saying is this. You need to be willing to get rid of that which is keeping you from hearing what God wants to say to you in your life. If I ask you today, what is keeping you from hearing God's word to you? You know, busyness that's there. I don't like what this says that's here. I mean, what is it, you know, you're reading the Bible. Maybe it's an unforgiving spirit. That would keep you from hearing. Or, you know, the Bible says, I want you to be generous in your giving. Everybody needs to tithe and be generous on top of that. And as soon as you read that, you're doing this. La, 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 la. And you go on. And Jesus says, I want you to love your neighbor. La, 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 la. It's like, I see what it says, but I, da, la, 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 la. It's like, I don't want to hear it that way. We all have stuff. What's your spiritual earwax right now? Are you willing to clean that out so that the seed can do what the seed is capable of doing? Now, the other essential, you got to have the, you know, heart's got to be right. Teachable spirit, earwax cleaned out. But it's not just about putting the seed in the dirt, but the other essential for the plant to grow and produce is what? Well, we'll call it the environment. In other words, you need rain and you need sunshine. This last summer, we found out what it's like when you don't get rain, right? The environment's not right. It was good seed that went into the ground. It was good ground that it went into, but really didn't produce because the environment wasn't right. The environment we need to continue to maintain in our life, Jesus said, is our relationship with Him. In fact, He says, John 15, you've got to remain in me. Stay connected to me. He sums it up, if you remain in me and my word remains in you. You can describe environment this way, or make this in your notes. My present or current relationship with Jesus. We'll come back to that. I mean, that's what the Lord's Supper is all about. It's about what is your current relationship with Jesus today. Whatever that is, and it is something, it's going to affect what the seed can do in you. So, two analogies, right? The first analogy, the word is like what? Seed, right? The word is like seed, and the word is like what? Yeah, a mirror. Those two things. Now, very different, results or productivity here. A seed produces, a mirror reveals. In fact, a seed really produces. Did you know, this is fascinating to me, did you know that one seed, on average, will produce 1,600 more seeds in one planting? Now, what I find fascinating about that, and this is average, not on the high side, one truth in God's word that's received with the teachable spirit, you have no idea of what it is capable of producing in your life, but it's going to keep producing and producing, and you can imagine if one seed happens, if it grows and produces more, what a second and third crop will be producing in your life. You will never, ever wear out the seed potential that the word has for you in your life. I won't. And believe me, that's good news. Seed produces, but as I said, a mirror, it reveals. It reflects. It reveals. How many here would say, I thank God for mirrors in my life? Can I see your hands? Kind of a trick question, isn't it? How many here have a mirror in your house? Raise your hands up. That's amazing. Everybody's got one. I wouldn't have guessed that looking at some of you right now. I mean, now, again, the value of a mirror is not simply its ability to reflect. The value of the mirror is what you see and then do with it. In fact, a mirror only helps doers. That's what James is going to tell us right here. Mirror only helps doers. The Bible's a mirror, but it only helps you if you're a doer. For example, you got up this morning, got out of bed, stumbled in the bathroom, maybe not this morning, but this week, you know, this week it's going to be this way. You kind of stumble in the bathroom, turn on the light, look in the mirror. You know? Scary! You get over the shock. Turn, walk away. Oh, that's better. And you just kind of go on with your day. If you do that, do you know what happens throughout the day? Every time you're looking at other people, they're doing, you know, like, you got to be kidding me. Because if you look in the mirror, but don't do something about it, looking in the mirror hasn't helped you, and it may have hurt you again, right? That's what the Bible says. You start to deceive yourself. You look at it, you think, this needs to be done, but you don't do it. You walk away, you forget about doing it. In your mind, you're thinking, well, it's all done, it's all good. And everybody else is looking like, it's not good, right? What's the mirror do? The Word lets you see what you are as God sees what you are. You know, open the Bible. You know? Now you got an opportunity. You can change what you see by being a doer of it. Or you can just deal with the shock, believing that you're better, but in fact not. James 1:25 says, the Word wants to free you. Give you freedom in your life, which it will if you're a doer of it. Jesus put it this way, John chapter 13. Would you read it with me, please? Everybody, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. So Jesus said, now that you know the Bible, you're blessed, right? Well, that's not what he said. He said, if you know the Bible, know the Word, and you do what? Yeah, you do what it says. That's the way you're going to be blessed. Jesus wants you to be blessed through the Word. How do you do it? We could say this. You love it. You learn it. You live it. Normally, I start a series with a maxim. Actually, I'm going to end this message with a maxim. But it's going to be a maxim that carries through every one of the other messages we have. It goes this way. No one can read the Bible for me. Would you say it with me? No one can read the Bible for me. Who can read the Bible for you? No one can read the Bible for you. Can I read the Bible for you? You know that if I could, I would, don't you? Because I care that much about you. I would read the Bible for you. Put the seed there. Get the mirror out there. I can't read the Bible for you. But God said, I have given to you, and we're going to discover this, the most amazing, incredible book in the history of the world. Would you love it? Would you learn it? Would you live it? Would you begin to read it? And let it do what it can do, what I intend for it to do in your life. Let's pray together and do communion. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word. Thank you for what you want to do in our lives through the Word. And as we think of the opportunities in front of us to be here and learn a little bit more about it, but now to do the Old Testament E50, to make a commitment to, yes, I'll do that. And even to be in a group with a learning spirit, uncomfortable as that may be. God, for the sake of the Word, I'll do a little uncomfortable, at least for 5 weeks. Do some great things in our lives, Father. Through your Word we pray. And everybody in agreement said, amen. As the servers come right